As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Welcome to the NBA Daily Ding on The Athletic NBA Show.
Ding, ding.
How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea.
It's the NBA Daily Ding here on the Athletic NBA Show. I'm Jared Weiss. I'm joined by Mark Schindler. We have Brian Smith producing this episode. Three games in the NBA playoffs. A lot of finality happening. We had three series come to a close on Thursday night. So let's start in New Orleans. The Pelicans made this series more thrilling than any one of us could have imagined, but Devin Booker came back and so did the Phoenix Suns. They end up beating the Pelicans 115-109, thanks to the point guard, Chris Paul, with an NBA record perfect game, 14-for-14 from the field.
Yeah, I mean, Chris was the story here, man. It is not overselling it to say that this was the best individual performance that we've seen in the playoffs offensively. He was just masterful in everything he was doing. The Pels tried like five or six different coverages throughout the third quarter just alone. I mean, starting to help from the strong side, you know, playing center field instead of straight drop, trying to switch more with Larry Nance out there, putting different defenders on him. It just did not matter. This guy was hitting whatever the fuck he wanted, wherever he wanted to. His just control of the game was unreal. He looked like Neo taking control of the Matrix.
You could just see that moment where he just like stops and holds the bullets up in the air. I mean, that's Chris Paul has those nights all the time, but his floater game was just unreal. He was finding the pocket to DeAndre Ayton over and over. DeAndre Ayton went 10 for 12 from the field. I didn't get a chance to really look this up, but 24 for 36 combined on a pick and roll duo. That's got to be pretty close to an NBA record. I've just never seen. I'm sorry, 24 for 26, not 36, 26. They had two misses between them. They were all DeAndre's. I mean, that was absolutely spectacular. We really saw Phoenix at its highest power with Book coming back and not really being himself at all from this hammy thing. So credit to CP. He comes through. I know he has a reputation, I guess, to a degree of not coming through, probably because he's been in these situations so many times in his career, such a great player, and he's a little guy, so, you know, a lot of pressure's on him. But going up against a team that I thought did a really nice job, I guess, fixating on him defensively, especially with Alvarado. We'll talk about Alvarado a little bit later. But, you know, New Orleans gave Chris Paul all the attention they could. They did a nice job of mixing things up on him, but he gets to his spots. Like, he always gets to his spots. He finds a way, and he doesn't miss, literally.
Yeah, some of the bounces he got tonight, shout out to Sabrina Merchant from over at SB Nation. She put out, you know, like, he has to have some kind of pact with the devil with how some of these shots are going in. Like, he had the one bucket late was like three bounces around the rim, super high arcing, over a contest too. I mean, it was just one of those nights where it felt like he could have taken 30 shots. I'm not sure he would have missed one. Just an unreal, unreal performance.
It wouldn't be surprising if we find out he's a wizard and he's just like Wingardi Olivio saying that thing in there. Like, that's probably what's really happening. So let's go back to that third quarter. Honestly, one of the strangest third quarters I've ever seen from a team where New Orleans Pelicans shoot 10 for 17 from the field, which is phenomenal. And they had eight turnovers and eight fouls. They kept offensive fouling every goddamn play.
One of the things that I absolutely loved in this game and throughout the series too, that you really saw over the last two games was the way that Monty Williams coached and had the defense play disciplined and, you know, really extending their coverage out onto the worst ball handlers on the team. So, you know, when Jose Alvarado or Brandon Ingram was handling the ball or CJ McCollum was handling the ball, they were pretty good at just staying disciplined, staying one-on-one. But the second anybody else touched the ball, they played out, really extended their coverage and made it extremely difficult. Like one really good snippet was Larry Nance went to go take a DHO, and immediately you could see a call from the sidelines. They blitzed out, were denying any kind of option to Larry, and it ended up in a turnover. And we saw that happen multiple times tonight. That was a staple throughout the series, but I thought tonight they really ratcheted up the pressure. And that was a big reason for a lot of those turnovers happening.
The play that kind of really sealed the game, I wouldn't say sealed the game, but really set the direction of this game was with a minute and a half left, where CJ McCollum and Larry Nance, they run that high pick and roll, and Phoenix just blitzes the crap out of CJ, and Mikal Bridges manages to get his hand right in that little pocket window and pick six it, and that gave them that 4-point lead. You know, New Orleans kept hanging in there over and over and over again, and that was the big breakthrough.
Yeah, Mikal was awesome tonight offensively as well, 18 points and a couple of self-created buckets too, which normally that's not normally his bread and butter, so it was cool to see that. But like you mentioned, defensively, he was awesome. Like CJ, he got hot for a couple moments earlier in the game, but for the most part, Bridges had him in check the entire game. Really forced him off the line into more difficult contested looks. Finished with only 16 points on 16 shots.
Okay, so yeah, Phoenix is great. We already knew that. Good to see some reaffirmation there. It was a great fight from the Pelicans. And, you know, Brandon Ingram, he showed in this series that he is, you know, a playoff star. He still has a lot of parts of his game where he needs to figure out how to create better looks for himself from deep, you know, how to get to the free throw line a little bit more, you know, going through when you're the big star of the team and you go 3-for-3 from the line in a closeout game, you know, you're expecting more than that for sure. So especially somebody of his size. So there's more for him to grow on. But New Orleans has a really nice program here. Ingram is obviously a very good young player. And Herb Jones, Jose Alvarado, the energy that they gave that team defensively and just the way that they push off of turnovers, off of rebounds, they really were the guys that broke out for this team in the playoffs.
Yeah, I tweeted this out during the game. Like, it's just pretty incredible that a team could start three rookies. I mean, not start, could play three rookies in a lineup for extended minutes and have it be warranted in a playoff series. Like, Jose, Trey Murphy III, and Herb were all out there at the same time for a pretty vital run during the third quarter. Just mentioning Herb, 4 steals tonight. He continues to just display some really interesting stuff as an offensive player as well, alongside already all defense caliber defense. That behind the back he had off the inbound steal from Mikal Bridges was just, that was filthy. Like, that was, in my opinion, highlight of the night or close to it. I would have liked to see Trey Murphy play more minutes. I think you saw some struggles with Jackson Hayes out on the court. That was a staple throughout the series. But ultimately, I mean, you just come away really impressed. And I mean, Jose, like, well, I mean, walking up, showing this bloody lip over to the broadcast team and the way that he was getting up in Chris Paul the entire series. Like, even then, like, I mean, he's not a traditional point guard in any means. He's obviously a smaller guy, but the way that he was able to attack off closeouts in the third and in the fourth as well, showing some of his burst and athleticism, he had just had a really impressive all-around series and really got to show his name on national television.
Yeah, he's definitely one of the like kind of like breakout guys of this NBA playoffs, like no question about it. And it's not just like the GTAs that he does and stuff like that. It's the passion he plays with, the spunk that he has. Like, he shows it on the offensive end. Like, he had a great drive where he got the and one, flipping on that huge hook shot. I don't know how tall he is. All I know is he makes Chris Paul look tall, so that means he's a very short man.
Exactly.
Chris Paul's a lot shorter than me, and I'm only 6 feet tall. So I don't know how tall Jose Alvarado is. But every time you see one of these, like, Cinderella teams make a push, there's always that guy that kind of comes out of the woodwork to become a household favorite. And, you know, Jones, I feel like, already got a lot of that this year, but Alvarado absolutely earned that.
Yeah, no, 100%. And shout out to Larry Nance Jr. as well. Jonas Valanciunas went out early in the game with foul trouble, and they rode with Larry for a lot of the game. He ended up playing 21 minutes. What he was able to do offensively, attacking the glass, he had 6 offensive rebounds tonight, was really good as a facilitator, just, you know, operating out of the high post with his quick trigger actions. He continued to play a really vital part for them in the minutes that he did get to play this season, coming off that knee injury coming over from Portland. I'm really excited to see his fit with the team next year, especially when Zion comes back.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Another series in the books. The Doc Rivers did not blow another one. The Philadelphia 76ers beat the Toronto Raptors 132-97 in T-Dot, the closest one out. This was, I mean, the Raptors had a lead for a lot of the first half. They went into halftime. It was just a one-point game, 62-61. And then by the third quarter, it was 99-78. What did James Harden do?
James Harden was awesome tonight. His first step looked back a little bit. He was really good driving into the paint, just getting the Raptors into rotation and really picking them apart. Really good game from him tonight. And he found his scoring as well, too.
So we had a step back from James Harden. We had a ferocious dunk at the rim from James Harden. Is James Harden not like full of cobwebs anymore?
I mean, it seems like him. 15 assists tonight, which that says a little bit more about the Raptors' defense than anything else. But yeah, I mean, if this is a sign of things to come, I'm very excited for what this is going to look like next series.
Yeah, I mean, it was too bad. The Raptors, like they had Kemper starting in this game. They were missing Fred VanVleet. I mean, this team is beat up. It's such a shame because Pascal Siakam, he did a really nice job pushing this, you know, putting this team on his back really the entire second half of the year. I mean, he was playing at a borderline MVP level for the second half of the year, and he closed this one out strong. But yeah, the Sixers are going to the second round. They're going to Miami.
I'm excited to see what that looks like. Joel really put the team on his back tonight as well tonight, 33-10. He looked a lot more spry, especially, I mean, defensively in the second half was tremendous, especially coming off of how horrid of a defensive game he had in the last game. So really excited to see what he and the Sixers look like against Miami.
We had to save the best for last. Dallas Mavericks, they beat the Utah Jazz 98-96. They knock out Utah in Utah. This might be the end for Utah. This might be it. We're going to see. I mean, the cut to Danny Ainge in that white Jazz hat right as the game was ending, that felt like some real foreshadowing of him waving the white flag on this franchise's roster construction. But before we get to that, let's get to Luka Doncic, who honestly had a pretty hideous crunch time. But Jalen Brunson, he helped keep Dallas ahead while Utah just kind of blew their opportunities.
Like you mentioned, I thought the Jazz played maybe their best defensive game of the series and one of the best defensive games they played this year. They were really good fighting on screens that Luka tried to bring up, doubling without doubling in a way, you know, like really trying to force Royce O'Neal to be able to stay on top of him. And it just didn't matter at times. Like their rotations were pretty good, but not quite good enough to really mitigate some of the quickness he was able to get the ball to the corners. But more of it was about the offense to me. Like I thought the Jazz really found a flow in the third quarter, but kind of went away from it in the fourth. You know, they were really, really getting downhill playing well, especially, you know, as Dallas downsized, played Dorian Smith at the five at times. They had two early pull-up threes from Bojan and Mike Conley within the last minute that really, I thought, sank where their offense was going.
Late in the game, Mitchell was finding Rudy under the hoop. They've only made four passes to each other the entire season, but most of them happened in that final at the end of the game. It really seemed like that connection was actually going to put them over the top. But then very end of the game, you know, two real heartbreaking offensive moments to end their season. First one is Mike Conley drives across the lane, picks up his dribble and just keeps moving. And honestly, I couldn't tell if he actually lifted his toe and actually moved his pivot foot. It looked pretty close, but it went far enough that, you know, you understand the travel call. So that's a turnover there. Last play, Quinn Snyder draws up an absolute gem for what might be his last play he ever calls as a Jazz coach. But late flare out by Bojan Bogdanović, his own defender, I think it was a Hardaway or Finney Smith, I can't remember. He gets picked off and Spencer Dinwiddie closes out late. Dinwiddie just blows by him completely. Bogdanović just sits there completely uncovered, very casually and cleanly and nicely goes into his shot. And it barely even got to the front rim. He just completely clanked that one. Just too open. Didn't shoot in rhythm. And that was the entire that was the end of the season for Utah. So what did you think of those last few plays?
Yeah, no, exactly like you were mentioning. I think just even not knowing if the game was going to be done, seeing Mike get that travel call was like, damn, man. He's really had a rough go of it over the last month and a half, you know, as the regular season closed out. And in this series, he just really hasn't been himself. He's looked a step slower on both ends. So to see him finish out like that was really tough. And then for Bojan as well, like, Bojan's been pretty solid this series. He's fought his ass off defensively. He's been their best option on Luka most of the time, even if, you know, again, it's still Luka Doncic. And that was just, again, another really tough break.
So is this it?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Like, I think going into this, if this team was not making it to the Western Conference Finals, which I wasn't betting on anyways, like, I don't think that we could see this not having major changes on the horizon.
Well, say goodbye to the Utah Jazz. Say goodbye to Mark Schindler and Brian Smith, our producer. I'm Jared Weiss. This is the NBA Daily Ding.
Ding, ding, y'all.
Neo, come with me.